Well, this weekend, we continue in a series called Breakthrough. It's been a great series as I've had a chance to hear from people that are awaiting a breakthrough, have experienced a breakthrough, praying for a breakthrough. You know, I don't know what it's like for you as you come through the doors week in and week out, but I do know that there are some that are here in our midst that are in need of a breakthrough. So it's been a joy to just preach from Scripture, different places along the way where folks experience those breakthrough moments, those moments where there's a sudden or significant advance or development. And we'll continue in the series this weekend. I do want to give a shout out to our Wyoming campus, and I ask that you do that as well, just so they can feel the love. So would you just, by way of shout, give a shout out to the Wyoming campus? I feel like I need a sign for like Wyoming. Like, that would be like the Wyoming. I don't want to throw gang signs up in here or anything, but they're like, what up, Wyoming? We appreciate you. In this, see, some of y'all, I don't know about you. In this series, we have touched on different areas of a breakthrough, and I've entitled the message this weekend, Revealing a Breakthrough. So if you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. Now, bear in mind that this is the Christmas season, and obviously Jesus is the reason for this season, and the story of the birth, the arrival of Jesus, it's the story that dominates this season. It's the reason why we gather. It's the reason why we have hope. It's the reason why we celebrate Advent or recognize Advent. It's the season of anticipation. And we just need to try and recapture what the anticipation would have been like there at the turn of the century as folks awaited the Messiah, the one who would save. And we try and recapture that in the Advent season as we get close to Christmas. But our anticipation is about when Christ will come back. And so I've called this Revealing a Breakthrough in the story of the birth of Jesus. Believe me, on Christmas Eve, I encourage you to come back because I'm going to tell it. I'm going to walk through the details of Mary's revelation and Joseph's revelation and this baby that's born when there's no room in the inn and all of that. I encourage you to be here for one of our Christmas Eve services. I know some of you are traveling. If you're going out of town, you need to invite five people to be here in your place. All right? But no, Christmas Eve is when we'll tell the story of the birth of Jesus. But as I talk about revealing a breakthrough, clearly there were folks that had a revelation from the Lord along the way in this story. But one that you may not be as familiar with is the person named Simeon. Simeon is someone that comes up as a man that has received a revelation from the Lord. And we're going to look at the life of Simeon as he meets baby Jesus shortly after Jesus had been born. And that's where we'll be in Luke chapter 2. But just to recap where we've been, as we've looked at different aspects of breakthroughs, we've talked about discernment, knowing when to stay and when to go. And we talked about how discernment is what shatters doubt. We looked at Moses on the edge of the Red Sea, wondering, God, what do you want us to do and how are you going to get us across this sea? And then we talked about consecration, the idea of our set-apartness. What, if anything, does our holiness, our desire to live in a way that's set apart to the Lord, have to do with us experiencing a breakthrough? Because again, every week we gather, there are some that are in need of a breakthrough. And then we talked about preparation last weekend as we looked at the story of David and Goliath. And we looked at the giant that David faced. And we talked about how those public victories are always preceded by private victories, and those private victories prepare us for what God is wanting to do in our lives. And so if you want to be able to face the giants, you got to be able to take on the lions and the bears that come your way. And this weekend, the word that we're focusing on is the word revelation. When God speaks, when God interrupts, when God has a message that God wants to convey to God's people, we call that revelation. And so I'm going to dive into Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 25. But before I do so, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come this weekend seeking a revelation from you. Lord, our desire is that you would speak and speak in such a powerful way, Lord, that it would be undeniable that you're here in our midst and that you're wanting to change our lives. Lord, I know that there are people at different stages of spiritual maturity here. Some that have walked with you for a long time and their lives are bearing great fruit. Others, Lord, that are new on the journey, Lord, and they're wondering, what is this Christianity thing all about? And Lord, there are some that are here this weekend that haven't even surrendered to you. They're checking this thing out. They've been invited by someone and they're wondering, and what does this have to do with me? I pray, oh Lord, that wherever we are on that continuum, that you would speak to our hearts. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring the word alive for us in a fresh way. Illumine our understanding of your word this weekend, Lord. Speak through me, speak to me. Prepare our hearts, God, for what you want to say and do in the moments ahead. It's in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So Luke 2, verse 25, begins this way. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, I left a cliffhanger there. I'll finish that sentence in a moment. Let's just stop and talk about Simeon for a moment, because I believe there may be some Simeons here in our midst. Simeon's a guy that had revelation from the Lord. The text makes that clear. He had something revealed to him by the Lord. We don't know how old Simeon was when this happened. We don't know what his station in life was. We don't know how long before this point in the story he had received this revelation, but we do know some things about Simeon. We know that he was righteous and that he was devout. And we also know that he was waiting. He was righteous. He did the things that the law required a good, righteous Jew to do. He was devout, which I sense that means that he was committed. And it wasn't just about going through the motions or doing the actions, the religious acts, showing up to church each week, writing an offering check each week, just going through the motions. But he did those things out of a relationship with God. He had a heart that was in tune with the Lord. He was devout. It wasn't just about the legal acts. It was about a relationship for Simeon. And he was waiting. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. That word consolation just means he was waiting for the comfort of Israel, for the sorrow to be lifted for Israel. If you know this story, you know that Israel at this point was an occupied state. The Roman government was there. The Roman emperors had set themselves up as gods that people would worship. And the only reason that the Jews were still able to carry out their religious practices was because these emperors thought, oh, those little regional gods, maybe they can bring us some good favor for our kingdom. So if the Jews want to keep doing their thing, and if other folks want to keep doing their thing, as long as they recognize that I, the emperor, are the supreme God, then we'll be okay. In the midst of all of that, Simeon was righteous, devout, and waiting. Anticipation had built up in Simeon. Now, I'll get sidetracked just for a moment and say, I wonder if we could be described that way. Righteous, devout, and waiting. Righteous, devout, and waiting on King Jesus to come back. And as we look at our lives, if you think about the breakthrough you're waiting for, I sometimes wonder if people sometimes get so consumed by the breakthrough that they're hoping for, the new job, the new relationship, whatever it might be, the wayward child to come back home, the financial breakthrough, the health breakthrough. I wonder if sometimes we get so focused on the breakthrough, we don't think about the character that we're conveying while we're waiting. Righteous, devout, and waiting with anticipation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that only righteous and devout people experience breakthroughs. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying, what does it look like in our lives as we wait on the revelation or on the breakthrough from the Lord? And so Simeon has this revelation from the Lord. And if you're taking notes, I would say, here's the first point, that divine revelation often redirects the lives of people. If you look in Scripture, the revelation that Simeon experienced, I believe that it changed his life. There's a lot of details we don't know. We kind of have to do some guesswork. We don't know if he got this revelation in his 20s and now he's in his 80s and he's been waiting 60 years for the Messiah to come. We don't know if he got it a week before this. We don't know, but revelation has this way of changing the course of your life. And my guess is that Simeon, that day, as he shows up in the temple courts, this isn't the first time, he's on the lookout for when this revelation will be realized. You will not die until you see the Lord's Messiah. I think that would change the course of your life. I was talking to one of my sons this week, and I said, what do you know about Revelation? And he said, it's creepy. And I said, no, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, because something about Jesus having a sword coming out of his mouth in the book of Revelation is creepy to him. And I said, no, like Revelation is like something being revealed to you. Like, what if God showed up to you, bright lights, you know, you drop to your knees, and he said, that would be scary. And I said, but what if he said, don't be afraid, like he says to everyone in these moments of revelation in scripture. He said, don't be afraid. And what if God told you that Jesus was coming back sometime next week? He said, that would be awesome. Right? Like, because you'd be on the lookout every day. That would change the way you live your life. That would change the direction of your life. There would be a certain urgency to tell people because Jesus is coming back next week. Simeon had the direction of his life changed. And this isn't the first time we see it in scripture. Abraham, in the Old Testament, Abraham, go to the land that I will show you. You mean pick up everything and move, God? Yes, pick up everything and move. Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Wait, Lord, you don't understand. I'm a shepherd now. I was a murderer there in Egypt. I can't go back there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, go and tell my people about their sins. Say what, Lord? They're going to arrest us. They're going to persecute us. They might even try and kill us. Mary, you will carry the Son of God. Lord, I'm a virgin. How can I do that? I'm not even married yet. God has a way of speaking in such a powerful way through revelation that it redirects the lives of people. Let me see if I can make it plain for you. When God speaks to you, it will change your life. Now, I know that may not sound very profound, but when the Lord speaks to you, a word from the Lord is life-changing. In the context of this series, Breakthrough, what I'm trying to say to you is that if you are expecting some breakthrough, waiting on some breakthrough, have been praying about some breakthrough, God may just give you a word of revelation on the way there. Now, this is not complicated. I know that the word itself may not be a word that you use every day in your vocabulary. I had a revelation from the Lord. But I'm just talking about God speaking, maybe giving you an indication that a breakthrough is coming, because I'm guessing that there may be some righteous and some devout people in our midst today that have been waiting on a breakthrough. And what if God wants to speak a word to you first? And so revelation, I just think if you allow me for a moment, there's a few quick points just to discover from Simeon's life, just about revelation, because we need to have a good understanding of this before we go any further in the message. First of all, revelation comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice the text as it described Simeon? It said he was righteous, he was devout, he was waiting, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it says that the Holy Spirit had revealed something to him. Notice how verses 25 and 26 read. We're told all these great things about Simeon, but then we're told that the Holy Spirit had a direct encounter with them. This was something deeper than just intuition. This was something deeper than just a passing thought. No, this was something that was out of the blue that seemed to reshape his life. I would challenge you. I believe that anyone who studies the Bible regularly has moments where the Holy Spirit may illumine the text, bring it to life, add light to it, give us a clear understanding of it. And I don't want you to get too hung up on terms here, but I'm suggesting that revelation may be something different than that. So significant that it can change the course of your day or your life. Like, it may come from time in the Word, but oftentimes, if you look at Mary, if you look at Joseph, if you look at Zechariah, if you look at people in these pages of Scripture, it's not like they were running around saying, God, give me a revelation of you. It was like out of the blue, God would show up and reveal something that was life-changing. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that delivers revelation. And revelation, I would argue, can bring great clarity of life purpose. So for Simeon, I'm guessing that every day in the temple courts or just in his day-to-day interactions with people, he's wondering, is this the Messiah, Lord? Is this the Messiah? Like, who's the Messiah? God, you said I won't die until the Messiah comes. And he was just on the lookout for the Messiah. And so I don't know what God is revealing to you or has revealed to you, but it should be something that clarifies life purpose. Simeon's purpose in life was to wait on the Messiah. Every day, waiting on the Messiah. And then revelation should prompt a pattern of obedience. Did you notice the text that says he was moved by the Spirit and he went into the temple courts? I don't know what your relationship with the Lord looks like, but what I do know is that word right there, that moved by the Spirit, is something that all of us could experience. The same Spirit that dwelt upon Simeon is the same Spirit that dwells within anyone who's a follower of Christ. And that kind of intimate, go here, go there, is the way that the Lord likes to direct lives when we're listening. So are you listening to the Lord? Because if you are, guess what? Obedience is required. Lord, you want me to say what? You want me to go where? You want me to talk to who? Are you sure? Are you sure, Lord? But for Simeon, he was moved by the Spirit. He demonstrated obedience. He had this divine revelation that gave him a great sense of purpose that clarified the reason that he was around. And ultimately, this day, he wanders into the temple courts where there would have been families bringing their babies to have them dedicated to the Lord. There's that message, consecration before breakthrough, right? Jesus was being brought to be consecrated, to be set apart for service to the Lord. And Simeon is there looking for a breakthrough because of this revelation he had received. And look at what the text says in verse 28 when he encounters Jesus. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation." Sometimes I read those words, I get the sense that Simeon is like a hip-hop artist. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation." I feel like I'm at the edge for a minute. It's our daughter, hip-hop church. "To the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." It probably didn't rhyme like that in the Greek originally, but anyway, "the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him." I can't help but when I read that, think of that scene from The Lion King when Simba gets lifted up, like, and the whole animal kingdom is there at the birth of Simba, like, if you've seen that movie, you know the scene I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, make it a good Christmas Day movie you watch with your family. But Simeon prays a powerful prayer here. Hey, if you didn't notice, he's talking to the Lord, and he says essentially, "Lord, now I can die. I can die because what you revealed to me has come to fruition." Can you imagine that feeling where you have had a vision for something? Maybe it's the business you started and you've run it on Christian principles. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's some other endeavor in life and you've had this God-inspired vision for it, and now you're seeing it come to fruition. You say, "I could just die right now because I've had the joy of seeing what you placed on my heart come to fruition." This is what Simeon says. He says, "Lord, the breakthrough that you promised, I'm experiencing it right now. That thing that he's been praying for ever since receiving this revelation is becoming reality." And based on his words, this is a breakthrough that doesn't just impact Simeon. This is a breakthrough that impacts a whole lot of people. And it reveals a truth about breakthrough moments and revelation. And that truth is this, that revelation from the Lord often, it can often be the catalyst for a wider breakthrough. Like, so your breakthrough that you're waiting on, that you've been praying for, is probably not just about you. It probably is not just for you. Revelation from the Lord is often the catalyst for something even wider and bigger. In this case, Simeon, he makes some bold claims about Jesus. Did you catch him? He says, "I'm looking at God's source of salvation in this baby. People will be saved because of this baby. The reason that this season is about Jesus is because this baby had some lofty expectations that you and I could be saved because of this baby." He says, "Lord, you prepared this child to be a light that would break through the darkness for all nations to see. He'll be a light of revelation to the Gentiles," it says, "and the glory for the Jews." What he's saying is that for the Jews, this will be the confirming sign. This baby in this manger will be the confirmation that all of the prophecies in the Old Testament that pointed toward Jesus are true. And he says he'll be a light for the Gentiles. which means those that are wandering in darkness, the folks that don't worship the Lord, they will be so touched and changed by this story that they'll even come out of darkness and walk in light. See, what Simeon is saying is that, look, Jesus is the source of salvation. You ought to be able to declare with confidence this season, Jesus is the light of the world. You ought to be able to say personally, Jesus is my hope and my healer. Jesus is my rock on which I can stand. Jesus is my peace in the midst of a storm. You can say amen anytime. Jesus is my access point to the Father. Jesus is the one who died for my sins. Jesus is the reason for this season. And in this baby, Simeon called it out. But what I find interesting from this text is that Simeon's breakthrough is more than just about Simeon. No, it has implications broader than just Mary and Joseph, broader than just Simeon. Simeon's breakthrough impacts you and me. Why? Because Jesus was and still is the light of the world. So look at what Simeon does next. It says in verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. What we see in this text is that revelation from God can expose the true condition of someone's heart. In fact, the revelation from God in this story that Jesus has come and he's declared to be the source of salvation really reveals some things about our own hearts. Like, you don't have to look very far, I don't think, in our culture to see that if you want to know how somebody feels about God, just see what they say about Jesus. And I don't think you have to look very far in our culture to see people speak against Jesus. We don't have to look far at all. Just this past week, say whatever you want to say about the Duck Dynasty drama. Say whatever you want to say about it, about free speech and the cultural debate that's going on and all of that stuff. But I think that it's become clear in our culture, if you speak about Jesus and you don't just talk about his love, but you talk about any kind of standard for holiness at all, expect persecution. Now, that's not to say I agree with everything that the guy from Duck Dynasty said. I'm not saying that he chose the greatest choice of words. I'm not saying that I agree with all his views on race and the Jim Crow era and welfare and all of that stuff. But what I will say is that Simeon reveals that when God speaks through a person and reveals the work of Christ through that person, the revelation of God begins to reveal what true motives are in people's hearts. And let me see if I can... if I can make this plain for you. If you allow me to just be a little transparent about my own week. You know, I know how God tends to reveal things to me. You know what your relationship is like with the Lord. I know how mine tends to work. Some of you, you hear more from God in dreams or through your Bible study times or whatever it might be. I know the track record God has had in my life. I know what it's like to be working in a business career and then to have God seemingly interrupt and say, seminary, and to say, what in the world is that? But then to go to seminary in 2003. I remember that. That was a revelation from God. I know what it's like to be coming to the end of seminary and then to wonder, God, are you calling us back to KCC or is it just a convenient thing to do? And to have a revelation, a strong revelation from God that this is the place that we were supposed to be in 2006 when we came back. I know what it's like to be working under a leader that you respect, that you cherish as a mentor and a friend, and then to have God interrupt and say, 2009 is the year for you to prepare to be a senior pastor. And that strong revelation that becomes reality when I moved into the role here January of 2010. I know what it's like to be leading a thriving, healthy local church that's making a difference in the community, only to have God say, I want you to go and put a satellite campus in another part of the community in Wyoming, and to see the Wyoming campus now thriving as that strong revelation has become reality. It's an amazing thing. I know how God tends to work in my life, which means that this past week, when I was sitting at my desk on Tuesday, I couldn't easily ignore what I felt was a strong revelation from the Lord, because I have experienced these before. Let me just take you back for a moment to last weekend's message. We talked about where this concept, the Lord of the breakthrough, even comes from. And I took you to 2 Samuel chapter 5, where David, a young king, a new king, was inquiring of the Lord, like, should I go up and battle the Philistines? And he was told, yes, go. And verse 20 of chapter 5 tells us, and David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood. And therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. The name of that place, Baal, Perazim, means the God who breaks out or the God who breaks through. This week, as I sat there at my desk on Tuesday, out of the blue, which is the way that the revelation of God tends to work in my life, I had this strong impression that this weekend, not Christmas Eve, nothing about Christmas Eve in this revelation, but this weekend was supposed to be a Baal Perazim moment in the life of Kentwood Community Church. And I sat there overwhelmed, speechless. And then the question started, Lord, what does that even mean? Will that be something public? Like, will that be private? Will there be people that leave the weekend services and maybe marriages that were in trouble and they'll have these conversations in the car where there's reconciliation? Will I not even know about it? Will there be things going on that I don't even see? Will there be people that are sick, that walked in sick, that will be healed? Are there going to be signs and wonders and miracles? What does that mean for the order of the worship service? What does that mean for me? What part am I supposed to play in it? And I know from the past, and when those moments come, you just have to trust the Lord. I thought, Lord, is this the weekend where people are inviting loved ones like crazy that don't know Jesus? And are we going to see people running to the altar to say, I want to give my life to Christ? Is this the weekend a parent might stand up on one side of the room and say to a wayward child on the other side of the room, I forgive you, I want you to come back? What will this look like, Lord? And do I even tell anybody about it? Well, I don't know about you, but when I experience those moments, my antenna are up. I'm listening for the Lord. And so I begin to just try and listen and be on the lookout the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Like, Lord, what are you doing? And there were some things that happened. I remember I was meeting with a family that evening, and I was going to be eating their home. I didn't know what they wanted to share with me. And on my way out of the office, I felt led to grab a copy of a book. I had an extra copy of this book called Prayer by Philip Yancey, and I took it with me, and I wanted to give it to them as a gift because I felt nudged by the Lord to do it. So I got to their house. I didn't mention the book at all, and they began to share with me some of the things that they've been going through this past year. And the theme of all of it was God has been pressing upon us to pray more. And I said, well, I just happened to bring a book that's titled Prayer. Does it make any difference? And they said, wow, it's like this was a divine appointment. Like God knew what book to tell you to bring. And I thought, okay, Lord, this is a little bit strange, but I like it. Like, I like walking in an intimate relationship with you. And so when I went to their house, I hadn't had a chance to eat dinner yet, and I knew they wouldn't have dinner, and it was a late meeting. And so I left their house, and I was going to that place that you go when you're hungry late at night, Taco Bell. And I was about to make a left turn in the Taco Bell off Kalamazoo, and just as clear as that this is to be a Baal Perazim moment this weekend in the life of KCC, I sensed fast. And I said, no, you don't understand, Lord. My stomach is growling. I haven't eaten since breakfast. You're talking about fasting, and I turn into Taco Bell, and as I'm having this argument with the Lord, I turn right back out on the Kalamazoo like, okay, Lord, whatever. You would think that I need to hear a sermon on something like consecration before the breakthrough, like consecrate yourselves because the Lord is going to do amazing things among you tomorrow. But I was resisting. Now, I wish I could tell you that I was this pure-hearted, obedient saint. I got home, and I reflected on this, and I thought, Lord, I don't know if you really were saying fast right then. Like you know, I could have heard you wrong. It could be like the person that was laying in the field and saw PC in the clouds, and it was a farmer, and he thought it was saying preach Christ, and he went and became a pastor and was a failure, and then someone said, did you ever think it might mean plant corn? Like, Lord, I don't know if you said fast. And I was looking across the counter, and there was some of the kids' old Halloween candy there on the counter. Snickers really satisfies you. I confess to you, I grabbed a Snickers and another one. They had the little miniature ones and another one. And then I felt like, Lord, I don't know about that whole fasting thing. And I went to bed. I woke up the next morning, went through the day, trying to think about, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with that? And I finally sent an email to the staff. Look, I don't know what you all want to do with this. I just need you to know I had this impression from God yesterday that this weekend is supposed to be a Baal Perazim moment. It felt good. I released it now. And the staff can pray about it now. I got to my men's Bible study in my basement on Wednesday night. I shared this with them. And as soon as I shared about this whole fasting thing, it hit me again fast. Like, oh, but Lord, such good snacks here at men's group. But from that point on, after men's group, I started fasting. I had a meeting Thursday morning with a gentleman from a Christian publishing company. He came in the building, and as I was driving to the church, I was praying, Lord, what do you want to do with this meeting? Because it's got to be bigger than just me and him and what we're talking about. And I sensed the Lord say, ask him this question. I'm not going to tell you what the question was because it would give away his identity, but it was a personal question. I'm like, Lord, you want me to ask him that? That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So we're in the meeting near the end. I say, like, I got to ask you something that's totally off the, it's not what we've been talking about. He said, go ahead. I asked him this deeply personal question. And this man shared a testimony about the amazing provision of God in his life that I wouldn't have heard if I hadn't asked the question. I was inspired by his story. I thought, Lord, this is cool. Like, okay, I'll keep listening. My stomach's growling, but every time it growled, it was like as I walked in obedience, it would go away. And then I got home that evening, and I thought about the family. Like, okay, how can I serve my family? And every time I served, I felt the pains go away. I woke up the next morning, Friday morning, early, spent some time in the Word, and I was having this good time with the Lord, and I was thinking, yes, today is my Sabbath day, my day off. I can just flesh this out, Lord, figure out what you mean about this weekend. And then I started looking outside. I let the dogs out and they slipped because it was a sheet of ice. I was like, no, it's going to be a snow day. The boys are going to be home. So much for my day off. But I made it a point in that moment to say, how can I serve them? Got up and I made some pancakes. I never cook pancakes anymore. Boy number one came down, flipped him some pancakes on his plate. It's like, wow, thanks, Dad. Boy number two comes down, dogged out those pancakes. They were good. Petra had to stay home and work from home that day. Made her up some pancakes. And in this serving my family, I was like, Lord, maybe the breakthrough is in me. Because over the last couple days, I just rediscovered this love for serving my family. And I thought, man, you know what? I could do this more often. Like, I was hanging curtains for Petra and putting up pictures, you know, last minute Christmas stuff and cooking up meals and even made some milkshakes last night for family fun night and all of that stuff. And I was just thinking, like, Lord, this feels good. Serving. Maybe this is the breakthrough. You want to break through something in me. But then I get to this weekend, still holding on to this strong revelation from the Lord on Tuesday at my desk, that this weekend is supposed to be a Baal Perazim moment in the life of KCC. I'm like, Lord, we've been around 34 years. You have moved in some amazing ways. What could possibly go on this weekend that by the time it's all said and done, we would want to erect an altar to you and say, the Lord of the breakthrough has shown himself powerful in our midst. And I don't know what that looks like. I'm just sharing with you that God reveals something to you. All you need to do is just walk in obedience one step at a time. And if some of you have some sin in your heart that you need to confess, then I would encourage you somehow, some way, confess it to somebody. If some of you are walking in such a way where you've been so focused on the breakthrough that you forgot about intimacy with the Lord, I would challenge you just to try and listen to the voice of the Lord. Whatever it might be, I just want you to know that Simeon had a breakthrough, and that breakthrough came after some revelation from the Lord, and that revelation caused him to be on the lookout. I want a group of people that are constantly on the lookout for how God may want to move in their midst, even right now, even on the car ride home, even as you go wherever you're going to go when we wrap up. Let me just give you some takeaways. Number one, when God is about to deliver a breakthrough, be on the lookout for God to reveal it to someone. I don't know what breakthrough you're waiting on, and I don't know who God wants to give a word of revelation in your life. I would encourage you to be on the lookout. Number two, divine revelation is rarely for the receiver alone. The only reason I told you the story of my week is hoping it would inspire you for your own walk, that you would seek to hear the voice of the Lord and walk in obedience. Number three, the breakthrough that came in the person of Christ is intended to bring salvation to everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. I never want to make any assumptions when I preach, even in the church that I love, that everyone that's sitting here is already a Christ follower. But that same breakthrough in the baby Jesus that was a source of salvation then is a source of salvation now. And if you're here this weekend and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to get to know Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to pray. But as I prepare to pray, if you know that you're here and today's the day that you need to surrender your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to come. Won't you stand if you're able? We don't have anything fancy prepared in terms of a song of response, but you know who you are and you can begin walking now. If you're here and today's the day you want to surrender to Jesus, just start walking toward the front right now. And we have prayer partners that will connect with you. And see, I don't know if you're out inviting like crazy, KCC, but trust me, there are people in our communities that are lost, that need to hear the truth of Christ proclaimed, that need to have the candle lit for them. And I want to encourage you, invite them at Christmas Eve, invite them to come and make this place their home, invite them to come and experience community, because we don't ever want to grow tired of inviting people to connect with the Lord.